eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On Inside Black and Gold, I'm Jeff Nowak. We're getting you ready for the draft on Thursday. We're recording this on Wednesday. So if anything breaks tonight, do not get mad at me. It is about 4:30. So we're reacting to what has happened. We're reacting to James Hurst's retirement, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, trades, whatnot. We're talking about Mickey Loomis's press conference on Wednesday. We went through trade up, trade down, new coach evaluations, stuff like that. This segment, I want to get into more specifics. The first being, okay, the Saints have prototypes. We know the Saints have prototypes. Maybe they need to change. Maybe they have changed. But one thing we do know is that this team believes in its scouting process. And if they don't see a player as fitting into that mold, they're not going to pick them. Unless there is some very, very strong redeeming quality that you feel this can be an exception to your rule. And so Mickey was asked about what it would take to do that. And this is what he said.
When you open the door to possibly consider someone that would be an exception, what's the study look like from there? You kind of like, okay, these guys with this arm length have done that. Like, how do you guys kind of break that
down? Yeah, it's just so different depending on the position. Here's the description. If it's an exception, do they walk on water? So you define that however you want to. You know, you got to walk on water.
Are there traps that GMs can fall into, like thinking you can fix the exception? Like, what are some things that you've been doing this for so long that you kind of are, we have to be careful to avoid this? Or?
Well, I think we're all confident enough in our abilities. And by all, I mean coaches, scouts, GMs, you know, all of us are confident enough in our abilities that we think we can fix something. And but there's some things that I think are just really difficult to fix. And I think over the years, that's where, you know, experience comes into play, is that, man, it's the exceptions, right? There's always exceptions. And I think sometimes you fall into this trap of, well, there's this one exception, so this works too. But I think it's really, I'm not explaining this correctly, but I think that's the trap that you can fall into.
Yeah, and again, like that's true. And I think last year we went through this with the guy, Nolan Smith. You know, everyone was like, well, why didn't the Saints take Nolan Smith, blah, blah, blah. And he fell all the way to wherever. And I think it comes back to that. It comes back to, he just doesn't fit the prototype of what you're looking for at defensive end. He's a little too small. You know, he's not heavy. He doesn't have the build that you're looking for. And again, maybe that needs to change. Maybe you do need to go select more athletic defensive ends. But if you have a process and you trust your scouting, then that's how you're going to go. And I think the player that I look at in this draft that if he fell to 14, we would hear people clamoring, take Dallas Turner. Take Dallas Turner. Why didn't you take Dallas Turner? He got picked two picks later. And I think it's going to come back to that. Does he walk on water? Is he so far above and beyond as a prospect that you can look past the fact that he's a little smaller, he's a little lighter in the keister, if you will, a little lighter in the trunk than you might be used to? And I understand it. I do. And I think that's going to be, if the Saints pass, if Dallas Turner drops to 14, which I don't think he will, but if he does and the Saints pass on him, I think that's why. And so keep that in mind. This is a team that has a process. They trust it. You can argue that it's not a good process or it has not been effective and they should change it. But that's what it comes down to. You have a prototype. You're not making exceptions unless they walk on water, as Mickey Loomis said. Now, looping back around to the tackle conversation, Mickey Loomis did give an update on Ryan Ramczyk. It was really a non-update, but I did want to play it. So here you go.
I know, just considering some of the uncertainty around Ryan Ramczyk, how important is it for you guys to know that they have a really good sense of where that's going to lead going into draft? They just considering it's a starting tackle.
I mean, look, it is what it is. There's a lot of things we don't have control over right now. So, I don't think we're spending a lot of time thinking about that specifically.
Do you have a good sense of where he is right now?
I think we do, yeah.
Is it similar to what Dennis said last time you talked about it? Like, has anything changed since?
Yeah, no, I don't think anything's changed. You know, we got a lot of time left.
I know. You have positions that you would still say are like must right now, and is offensive tackle a position that you would say is sort of a must at this point?
Yes, I'd rather not discuss what we think is, you know, yes, in terms of, yeah, there are some musts on our board yet, some tags we haven't filled, just like there's some needs and there's a few wants, and but I'd rather not get into anything specific.
Yeah, how's Trevor Penning's offseason gone to this point?
Yeah.
You'll still view him as tackle? Is there a position that, maybe another position you would
Play? I think it's gone well, and look, there's a lot of offseason left here, and we have a new offensive staff, a new offensive line coaches, and I think they're anxious to get to work with him once we're able to get on the field.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and answer that for Mickey. Tackle is a must. You're going to have to address it, whether you address it in the draft or not. It's a must in terms of addressing it, because the answer you get there from Mickey is they know where he's at in terms of where his progress is, but not much has changed. And until you get positive momentum from Ryan, you have to at least approach the situation as if he is not going to play. And I don't think he's going to play. Now, there is a lot of time left, right? Yeah, we're at the draft, right? We haven't gone through OTAs. He's not going to be there for OTAs. We haven't gone through OTAs, minicamp. It won't be until training camp that we really get a picture of exactly where Ryan is. If he's out there for training camp, then you'll feel great. You'll feel great about it in terms of his ability to at least start this season. But even if you get to that point, you cannot reliably go into this season saying, hey, Ryan's going to be there for the duration. Because how could you? You saw what happened last year. Even if he is in a situation where you manage it, you give him his rest days, it could still crop up on him and keep him out. So, of course, it's a must. Now, I think left tackle, the plan is to play Trevor Penning. Now, hopefully, you don't have to bench Trevor again. And I think there's a situation where you have to let him play through some of his young player issues. And hopefully, they aren't significant enough that Derek Carr doesn't make it through this season because he gets hurt. But I do think you at least have a plan there, and you're going to see how it goes. I don't think you have a plan at right tackle right now. And I don't think that plan can be, we're going to start Landon Young. As much as I like Landon Young, he's a backup. He is a NFL backup. He is similar to James Hurst. If he's a quality depth player on your roster, but if he's your starter, you're in trouble. So, you know, Mickey's not going to say it there. Of course he's not. This every year we go through this. It's like he's going to answer in whatever way he answers, but he's not going to give us a ton of information. That said, tackle is a must. But we didn't really get much on Ryan there. And I don't expect we will until camp, when they have to at least address the fact that he's not there if he's not there. And we'll see how that goes. But one more clip, one more player that I want to talk about. And it was kind of a funny interaction because we're going to talk about Marshawn Lattimore, and he's going to get asked whether he's going to be on the team in 2024. And I am surprised I don't see more headlines out there kind of going off of the first answer. Maybe it's because there was more context and people paid attention. But either way, this is how that that answer went.
Do you feel like pretty confident that Marshawn Lattimore is going to be on this roster this year?
Yeah.
And if there was any trade discussion, I mean, does that kind of end with the draft or not necessarily?
Yeah, no, listen, that it's not specific to Marshawn. So there's always conversations about all kinds of players. So it's not any different.
Just to clarify on Lattimore, do you approach those types of questions with every player we have? I'm always going to say that they're going to be on a roster this early. Like, if the answer was something other than yes, would you say
yeah,
that?
What do you think?
What do you think? It's going to be a headline.
Yeah, I just...
You know, he's going to be on a roster in 2024, so it's just...
Yeah, that's not what... That wasn't my answer. My answer, he was asking me a question. I'm trying to avoid it. Because I... Let's be honest. You know, you guys know me. I don't like talking about specific players. You ask questions, and you have the right to ask the question, but, you know, listen, everybody's tradable. You know, just depends on, you know, the offer that you get, right? And yet, it's not very common. I'm not not one who likes to do a lot of trades. You know, I don't like trading players that have been contributors for us. I like, you know, maximizing our roster with the guys we got. But we've made trades before, so there's too many what if things here, right? If there was something imminent, I still wouldn't tell you. But
you kind of laugh sometimes that there's. Like, it always gets out there, like, oh, you could trade this player and get a draft.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, not any specific player, but that would be trading an already established player for someone who could be just as good as that player, but maybe not. So when you see that, just with any star player, I guess, does it kind of make you laugh? Because trading something established for the unknown, I guess.
Yes, but there's also this, I think there's an assumption that there's there's not as many opportunities as people think to either trade players that you have or acquire players. There's not nearly as many opportunities as you think. There's a lot of discussion, not a lot of discussion, there's discussion about things, but there's not that many opportunities that come along, I don't believe. So I think there's an assumption that you can just pick up the phone and trade anybody and trade for anybody, and that's just not the case. There's a lot of variables. The salary cap makes it difficult. The replacement. If you trade away a player, you got to replace them. And there's just a lot of variables that you've got time. We've got time and a lot of coaching and invested in these guys. And look, we want them to be successful here.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So I appreciate the honesty there in terms of, hey, I'm not going to answer your question, and I want to make sure you know that I didn't answer your question, because, yeah, he's not answering that question. Now, I do think he gave, in spite of himself, an honest answer there, which is anyone's tradable. And that means, there is an option that you go through that, hey, okay, we found a trade that is acceptable for Marshawn Lattimore, and we're going to make it. I've said this several times. One of the biggest goals I set for the Saints this offseason is not necessarily trade Marshawn or don't trade Marshawn. It is to make sure that from a locker room perspective, you are able to say no to trades, because that is the only way you're going to get a representative value for Marshawn. Because you get into training camp, another team that feels like it's got a chance to win this year loses somebody due to injury, or doesn't feel like they're one player away and that player is an elite cover corner, and they look at it and say, hey, okay, yeah, we'll give up some assets. We'll take them off your hands and we'll do whatever. But the deal has to make sense. And I think that's kind of what Mickey is getting at there. Like, if the trade's not there, the trade's not happening. And you can't just go into the offseason saying, we're going to trade this guy, find the deal. Because that deal doesn't always exist. And when you see teams get fleeced, like the Saints did for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, it's not always because you wanted to trade that guy. It's because you had to trade that guy. L'Jarius Sneed, the Chiefs got nothing for him. It's because you had to trade him. It's because you weren't going to pay him, and he knew that, and it was going to become a problem. The Saints had to trade C.J. Gardner-Johnson because they weren't going to pay him, and it was a problem. It had already become a problem, and everyone knew that, and that's why the trade value was what it was. But I don't think that there's going to be a trade made of Marshawn Lattimore prior to the draft. I think it was always going to be, hey, let's get closer to camp and see what develops. But one way or another, it's on the table. Whether Mickey wants to say it or not, it's on the table and we're going to figure it out. But it's not going to impact Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And hopefully they have reconciled that situation to a degree that you could go into camp and say, hey, there's no deal. We're going to figure it out. And it's going to affect Alante Taylor. It's going to affect Paulson Adebo. I had a couple say, okay, well, I had a couple people ask, hey, what about Quinyon Mitchell? What about Terry Arnold? What if those guys drop? And that's a tough one for me because I do think it affects that situation. Because if you go out and you draft a top-end corner at 14, you expect that guy to start. So who's he starting over? Starting over Paulson? Is he starting over Marshawn? Right? You already have Alante Taylor shoved into the slot position that I don't think is his ideal position, but you're making it work. You add another cornerback to that equation, and I think you do have to trade Marshawn. So we'll see how it goes. But that's going to wrap up this episode of Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. We'll be coming at you hopefully with a hit after the Saints make their first round pick. We'll be doing a full wrap up show on WWL on Sunday, and that's going to be kind of our. I'm going to fold that into a podcast episode like we did last year to kind of give you all of our thoughts on the entire draft as it was. Just going to be tough to get anything done Friday to Saturday because it's a quick turnaround. It's late night to early morning. Got to host pre-draft shows on WWL. So we'll do what we can. Appreciate everyone sticking with us. It's a very busy time of year, and we do what we can. I do want to plug one last time. Make sure to check out the pre-draft show on WWL AM 870, FM 105.3, and on the Odyssey app. It's a great show. There's so much content in that show, and I almost never have enough time to do as much with it as I want to because we got Jeff Ireland, we got Mickey Loomis, you get Dennis Allen, but more interestingly, you'll get Clint Kubiak and Rick Dennison for the first time. We get to really hear their vision for this offense, for the offense they're trying to transform this season with Derek Carr and Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill and all these guys. So make sure to check that out. Again, this is Inside Black Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak. Make sure to subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. As always, it's draft time, baby. Let's do it. All right. Who dat? Go Saints. Peace out, y'all.